The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see your faces and sometimes hear your voices when you're unmuted, and imagine your voices when I can't actually hear you. It's so good to be together in this way, and very special thanks to everyone behind the scenes who's making the technology and all of the pieces of this service work together as smoothly as they are. So appreciate how much work goes into creating and offering a virtual service. Our moment for all ages this morning is a story called Two Frogs. And it's a story by Unitarian Universalist minister Chris Buse. Two frogs hop along, as they tend to do, along going through their day, and boom, 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 they hop, as they do, into a bucket. Now, this bucket happened to be half filled with cream, which made the sides of the bucket very, very slippery. And it was too slippery for the frogs to jump out. One frog began to moan and to wail, "Oh, we'll never get out of here. We are doomed." But the other frog quietly thought about their predicament. And while he thought, he started moving his legs. And he moved and he moved, treading water in the cream. "We'll never get out. We're doomed," said his friend. But the other frog kept moving around and around in the pail, and he paddled, and he said to his companion, "Help me out here. Help me do this. Swim, swim around. Don't despair. Keep hope alive." And so the two frogs started swimming and swimming around in the cream, and they started chanting, "Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive." Can you do that at home? Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. And they swam and they swam and they swam in the circle. And do you know what happened? The more they swam, the thicker that cream got. And that cream got thicker and thicker and thicker until it became butter. And when the cream became butter, the two frogs could climb up on that pad of butter. And from that pad of butter, they leapt right out of the bucket and went on their way. And they were so happy as they went along their way, they kept chanting to themselves, "Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive." So the story this morning is about you never know what's going to happen, but when you start with hope, amazing and mysterious things might come to pass. Keep hope alive. So we'll come back to our frogs in a few moments as we look at keeping hope alive and active hope particularly. But before we do that, let's take a moment of meditation and quiet and calm. Let's first hear some words from Václav Havel, the Nobel Prize winner, Czechoslovakia. We'll share a little bit of quiet, of silence, and then I'll close out our time of meditation with words from my colleague, Marta Valentin. But let's first hear these words from Václav Havel. He writes, "The kind of hope I often think about is a state of mind, not a state of the world. Either we have hope within us or we don't. It is a dimension of the soul. It's not essentially dependent on some particular observation of the world or estimate of the situation. It is an orientation of the spirit. An orientation of the heart." Let's just take a moment to have those words sort of sink in and rest in our hearts. And now these words from Marta Valentin from her book, Voices from the Margins. Loving spirit of this very moment, we are thankful that you are with us during these moments of wondering and doubt. When we forget that dreams are not born in an instant, but must be nurtured, must be chosen over and over. When the world is telling us that we are dreaming too large, too wild, too unrealistic, or even too small. Remind us, gentle spirit, that any dream worth waiting for is worth working toward. Thank you for that lovely musical interlude. I want to open my comments about engaging active hope this morning with two assertions. One is that hope is essential. It is not an optional part of our daily human lives. As human beings, we can imagine the future, and imagining the future is fundamental to hopefulness. So I want to start with that. Hope is essential, not optional. And I also want to say that hope is not the same as optimism. I think they get confused often, but what I'm going to be talking about today is hope, grounded, deep hope. Many of my comments this morning are influenced by one of my dear teachers, Joanna Macy, and her co-author, Chris Johnstone, who wrote a book called Active Hope, How to Live Through the Mess That We're In Without Going Crazy. It's an important book to me, and I return to it over and over again. And in the beginning of that book, the authors Joanna and Chris define what they consider to be authentic hope, real hope, not a specter of hope, not a ghost of hope, but real hope. The first step in engaging in real, authentic hope is to have a clear view of reality. We can't fool ourselves. We have to look at all that our world is in all of its mixed up, sometimes despairing, we'll never get out of the bucket of cream, sometimes glorious, what an extraordinary spring we're having, a real hard look at the reality that is in front of us, the full measure of what is going on in our world, the world as it is, and not the world as we wish it to be. That's the first step in moving ourselves towards an authentic hope. The second, we need a vision. We need a direction that we're going towards. Hope is born out of our desire for something other than what we have right in front of us. And active hope means that we take steps towards something. We actually engage ourselves. We do something. So a review with the help of our friends, the frogs. Reality, we are in a bucket of cream. There is no denying it whatsoever. Something is required of us, a vision. We want to live to see another day. This is not the end that we imagined for ourselves. We want something different. An active hope, taking steps. We swim, we chant, we do something. We get engaged. We move ourselves into the situation. Now, to these three qualities of active hope, seeing something for the real, having a vision or a desire for something else, and taking steps, I have to add another piece, and I think this is a piece that's particularly challenging for Unitarian Universalists. Hope is not about a specific outcome. Hope is about desire. There are no guarantees when it comes to hope. But when we put our full attention to something, it brings out our aliveness. We don't know what will happen. Rebecca Solnit calls this the spaciousness of uncertainty, and I hesitate almost to use that phrase when we are living in a time of such great uncertainty. But the spaciousness of uncertainty opens up the future. It says that the future is not yet written, and it encourages us to let go of any specific outcome. So if we look back at our frog friends for a moment, there was no guaranteed happy ending for them. We don't know, and they didn't know, if there was enough fat content in that cream to actually create butter. We don't know if that hoping frog could really convince his despairing frog to swim along with him. And with only one frog swimming, maybe they couldn't have succeeded. What if the butter formed and it was still too far down into the bucket for the frogs to jump out? You see, hope answers to what if, not the question of show me where this is going and I'll decide if I go along with you. Hope says, what if we try this? What if? What if we dare to dream and dare to imagine something, anything, and we go for it? There's another important voice to me concerning hope, and it comes from a story in my training to be a minister back when I was training for chaplaincy in a hospital. One of my units in the hospital was oncology, both radiation and chemotherapy. And an oncologist came and spoke to our group that were training. And he said something that I'm holding on to still now, almost 20 years later. He said, hope, when it comes to oncology and when it comes to life, in fact, hope is a shape shifter. He said, in oncology, in the treatment of cancer, the job of anyone is to find the hope and support it. The way he described it was this way. He said, all of us hope that we don't get cancer. And then some of us do. And so the new hope is that there will be a protocol for our particular kind of cancer. And for some of us, that's true. And we support that hope. And then for some who have that protocol, the treatment is successful, and that's the next hope, and we support that. And all the way along, in fact, until we hope for perhaps a good and peaceful end, and we support that hope. He said, hope has to be created and recreated and imagined and reimagined. It's something that we do, not something that we have. And that has helped me in so many different places in my life, that the hope that I had and held is not the hope that's going to support me through the next day, or the day after that, or even the day after that. Hope comes from inside ourselves, not outside. Hope always arises from imagining another future. I will admit that right now we are in some really big buckets of cream. We are paddling mightily to escape the bucket of cream that we know now as the coronavirus. And when we emerge from that, however we emerge from that, there's another bucket waiting for us. And that bucket is climate change. It's sitting right outside the coronavirus bucket. And in some places, those two buckets are actually the same. But right now, the urgent is overwhelming the important. We understand that and we know that. But despite the clearer skies that we're enjoying and the cleaner water and the canals of Venice and the birdsong that we can hear on the city streets because fewer people are driving and the plummeting use of fossil fuels, climate change is still chugging along in the background. And it will be what we will have to shape our hope around. There are technical fixes for almost everything that we are facing around climate change. There are a growing number of people who accept the reality of the climate crisis. What stops us from acting on what we know are some of the things that we can name easily: greed and the lack of the political will, and our habits and our lifestyles that are very difficult to change. But there's another piece of what's holding us back that was named by the World Watch Institute. And this is something that I return to over and over again. The World Watch Institute wrote in one of their State of the World reports, "The biggest obstacle to reinventing ourselves may simply be a paralysis of hope." I'm going to repeat that. The biggest obstacle to reinventing ourselves may be simply a paralysis of hope. I actually find that statement to be incredibly hopeful because it's something we can do something about. But in order to do that, we must choose hope. We must practice hope. We must exercise hope as if it were a muscle that we rediscovered and haven't worked in a very long time. As Unitarian Universalists, we are very good at looking at reality, that first step of active hope. We're very good at knowing the facts and sharing them. We're very good at seeing the world as it is. But those other two steps of casting a vision of what we wish to see in the world and taking the steps in a direction, those are a little bit more difficult for us. Those are the ones that we need practice on. And the part that is the most difficult for a Unitarian Universalist is to do that without knowing the outcome. To take steps with faith and to release, to open our hands, what the outcome might be. But consider, just imagine how hope can be what changes you, what changes us, what might change the world. Try to imagine the power of hope. Blessed be and amen.